Welcome to the most must-see WWE talk show in history. Welcome to Miz TV. What a shock. I'm actually surprised it took this long for you to interrupt us.
Man, I was laughing with everybody else. That was actually pretty funny, right? I got to give credit to where credit is due. You nailed it, like making fun of all my house rules. I do have a few, and Nicole and Bree do have their moments where they may be a little bit too dumb to tell each other apart, and me walking around like some big old corporate robo-Cena, and then, man, like, you really hammered home the fact that we're not married because, like, we're not married. It was good. It's actually, like, one of the few good things you've done here. But then the jokes were over, and you stopped acting like John Cena, and then you started acting like The Miz. See, we can take a joke. We got no problem with a spoof about Total Bellas. But we definitely got a problem with you two. Because with you two, it's not just a joke. You actually believe what you're saying is true, and it couldn't be further from the truth. Like you actually believe that she kept you from coming back to WWE, yet you're standing in a ring right now. How the hell could that even happen? Don't you realize how asinine that is? Here's the truth, and it's going to sting a little bit. They didn't ask you back because they didn't want you back. Because when you were here before, you didn't do jack. You don't believe me? Get on the WWE Network right now and search for Best of Maurice. You find this. And you? Oh, you got my life all planned out. This is just a 15-year plan for me to use the WWE as a vaulting board to Hollywood so I can go on to the red carpet and leave WWE in the dust. Man, are you high? I'm as brand loyal as Vince McMahon, and hell, I'm not even cool about it. Everybody here knows I'm loyal to the WWE. Hell, half of them hate me for it. They want me to go, but they can't get rid of me. Mike, I'm doing a movie, and then I'm coming back. A lot of superstars do this, guys. Triple H has done it. Randy Orton's done it. Sheamus has done it. Seth Rollins has done it. Dean Ambrose has done it. And oh, wait. You've done it. It slipped my mind for a second because the only movies you're in are crappy bootlegs of movies I already made. No, it's cool, because at least you're doing something. I'm still trying to figure out what you're doing here.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast arena. Coming to the ring at this time...
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
First, representing this week in Geek, and from parts unknown. He is Mike the Birdman Don.
I am one hardcore D-O-double-D.
I'm a nice man.
His tag team partner, representing the Geekcast Radio Network and hailing from the outer reaches of your mind, he is Mike TFG1 Blanchard.
I got four words for you. Check out my ass.
And from the Great White North, here is your special guest referee, Ryan the Uneven Flow. You are listening to Mayhem Mikes. And now, let's get ready to podcast!
Hello and welcome to Mayhem Mikes. This is episode 21. I am, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me is Ryan, the Uneven Flow Markley. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Hello. And we're here to talk about the lead-up to WrestleMania, WrestleMania and the aftermath of WrestleMania. So, WrestleMania 33. This is our almost two-year mark for Mayhem Mikes, because I think it was April 6th of 2015 that Mike and I started doing the wrestling stuff. So, yay, 2 years of the podcast. Yay.
Yay.
Yay. Yeah, I'm not in the best of moods tonight here, folks. Stupid real life online bullshit drama. Anyway, so the lead up for WrestleMania for Raw and SmackDown, honestly, I only want to even talk about it because of SmackDown and because of Cena and Nikki versus Miz and Maryse, because that Mike stuff on the last SmackDown before WrestleMania was just awesome. I love it when John goes after him.
Miz completely won that battle, though. I mean, that's why he got cheered at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
That was a pretty one-sided beating, especially with the amazing vignettes where Miz found a way to make Total Bellas or Divas or whatever it is watchable.
Yeah.
That was wonderful. His Daniel Bryan was also excellent.
Yeah, it was.
Do you know that right now there is a women's revolution going on? And that means each and every week, women aren't just allowed. They are encouraged to step in this ring and prove they are just as good, if not better, than men. I don't know if you guys saw this, but last week, Nicole picked up a dude who was 210 pounds and threw him around like he was a waste of space. Every week, you show up, steal a paycheck, and you are a waste of space. This one's gonna sting too. The only reason you're back is because he begged WWE to hire you so he could be on Total Divas. You want a headline? Here's your headline. He's using you to be on Total Divas. Oh, wait. And you want to knock Nicole for not having kids? How long y'all been married? How many kids you got? Let me just crunch the numbers real quick. None. What, you firing blanks there, sport? Long time ago, dude, I told you not to bring a knife to a gunfight. But you didn't listen. Because you two don't listen. You talk and talk and talk and talk, and you don't even listen to yourselves, because if you did, you would realize just how ridiculous you sound. Where we come from, if you fail, if you get knocked down, you just get back up and move on. If you got so much as stumble, you blame everybody else. It's never your fault, and there's always an excuse. And that type of attitude, you create this ego where you're unbeatable, unstoppable, untouchable. But Mike, that's not real, dude. And real is going to punch you straight in the mouth this Sunday. You actually had me laughing when you were imitating me, but there was that moment when you took all the stuff off and you got serious. I think that's a hell of an idea. I have stripped away everything that you think makes me, me. But I stand in front of you a man, the man that you're looking in the eyes right now and you know is going to crush you at WrestleMania. Normally, right about now, I'm telling everybody who will listen that we're gonna be in for the fight of our lives. We are not. We are going to destroy you at WrestleMania. You know why? Because you waste your time memorizing my house rules, and in 10 years here at the WWE, you still haven't got the one rule that we live by. You want to talk tough? You better be tough, and you a These two are nothing but gutless, spineless, loudmouth cowards. I said it before, I'll say it again. You're not the it couple, you're the shh it couple. Prove me wrong. We are sold out here in Richmond tonight. And everybody's got that vibe. Everybody can feel we are close to WrestleMania and they want to see something happen. So make it happen, Holmes. Ball up that fist and take a shot. Just remember who you're swinging at. I'm the guy who wore his nose on the side of his face and got back up for a fight. And if you swing, I'm going to swing back. Oh, and as much as you probably want to come over here and slap the taste out of my mouth, you frozen in your tracks. Because if you so much as step in my direction, she'll knock the Botox out your cheeks. We right here, man. You feeling froggy? Jump. Y'all want to see this?
I honestly don't even remember what happened on the Raw lead-up episode, the go-home show for Raw. I only wanted to talk about SmackDown.
I mean, more Goldberg, Lesnar stuff. The lead-up for most of the fights was good. The issue is that some of it wasn't good, and it led to not great matches, too. Like, the lead-up to Orton-Wyatt was all right, but it wasn't great.
Mm.
They seem to have completely forgotten about the belt.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the match at WrestleMania was so...
Yeah. That was bathroom break material, folks. As much as I love seeing Randy work, that was bathroom break kind of stuff. All right, so we're going to take a quick break, come back with WrestleMania 33 after this.
That this ladder match has now become a fatal four-way! Which means that there is one more team involved in this match.
Now, I wonder who this fourth team could possibly be.
Things are about to be broken!
Team Extreme is back! Matt and Jeff, the Hardy Boys are here!
I've got goosebumps!
You gotta be kidding me! You gotta be kidding me!
I am completely in shock right now. This is unbelievable. Matt and Jeff Hardy helped innovate the ladder match, make it what it is today.
Listen to this place.
This is insane.
The six-time WWE Tag Team Champions.
You said a core of the Hardys. They wrote the book on the ladder match.
And guys, listen up. I'm doing a quick little Google search here, because, and I think this is the first time. Stop Googling at the desk, Cole. It's WrestleMania.
In almost 7 years that the Hardys have teamed in WWE.
Everyone here inside the Citrus Bowl is in shock.
You said it, Corey. The originators in many ways of the ladder match. How do you think these other competitors feel?
The Hardys, who made history against the Dudleys and Edge and Christian in tables, ladders, and chairs matches, have now been added to the mix. The match is underway, and here we go. Matt and Jeff are back for the tag team titles.
All right, folks, we are back. WrestleMania 33 was in Orlando, Florida this year. I believe this is the second time since I've been watching WrestleMania regularly that they've had it in an outdoor arena. And both of those times it was in Florida. WrestleMania 24 was outdoors, and so was WrestleMania 33. I just realized I've been watching WWE full-time for 10 years now. 2007 was the first time I went back to WrestleMania 23. Oh, boy. So we start with the kickoff match, the Cruiserweight Championship match, Neville versus Austin Aries. This was not part of the... I did not watch this part of the kickoff show. So what did you think of Neville versus Austin?
It was good. It ended up being... it's a good quality match. Both these guys can work really well. And it was probably better than some of the stuff on the card. It was... kind of a smart decision to have it first. I mean, it was good in terms of getting the crowd into it, which was solid. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Having Neville continue with the belt was smart, because mm-hmm. he's doing some of the best work of his career. Aries has done really well, and like I said, put on a really good match, and he's pretty much always going to be able to do that. He's one of the best wrestlers out there. Mm-hmm. And the lead-up was pretty solid. But yeah, it's a little weird that we had two title matches on the pre-show.
We had three.
The event ran 7 hours long.
Okay, let's talk about this, okay? Yeah.
It's too long.
Why? The pre-show was an hour and 59 minutes and change, so let's just say 2 hours. The event itself was just north of 5 hours, so let's say 7.5 hours total. That is too much at once. I did not watch, because Dean was on the kickoff show, that's the only reason why I watched the kickoff show, because I wanted to see what Dean and Baron were going to do. But WrestleMania itself, it took me 2.5 days to watch it. I should not have to spend 2.5 days going back and forth between watching WrestleMania and not watching WrestleMania, folks. Too long. Way too long.
I watched it live. And yeah.
So Mojo Rawley won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal with some help from the New England Patriots, Rob Gronkowski.
So as if there wasn't enough reason to hate the Patriots.
Hey!
What the hell? This was bad from the...
Start,
yeah. All right. There was the setup with Strowman and Big Show, and uh-huh. that kind of petered out because both of them were eliminated early. Now, of course, they did fight, but it just, because neither of them factored into the finale, it just didn't really lead up to anything. Zayn was one of the few other ones that kind of had a lead up too, and no, there's not much. I don't know. There, there was no payoff there either.
No.
Because, I mean, he got eliminated.
And I don't know why having Mojo win it was a good idea.
I don't know. I mean, if they go forward and actually go all in on the guy, I think it's better. They they haven't before. I mean, previously, other wrestlers who have won it have basically done nothing afterwards. I mean, Corbin sort of, but for a bit, you know, it's only recently they've kind of gotten a little more behind him.
More on that later.
Other than that, like, Sho won it and nothing happened. Cesaro's won it, nothing's happened with him. So, I mean, if it builds towards something, okay, fine. But I just don't... I don't know. I don't know that this means anything. And, I mean, overall, last year, the biggest problem with WrestleMania, period, was the fact none of it really...
mattered.
Meant. Yeah, none of it meant anything. So, if this doesn't mean anything, that's another kind of... I don't know. It's another hit to this particular event, as in, when I say that, I mean the Battle Royal.
Yeah.
So...
Let me ask you, do you think it's just that they need to have a classic, well-known wrestler's name out there, even though he's no longer with us? Do you think it's just because, oh, it's Andre the Giant, we must preserve... Well, I
mean, the real reason's just to get everybody in on WrestleMania to get a paycheck.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's it, but just... Like, here's my problem with it. Obviously, I think everybody who works in WWE, you know, they've worked hard to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they deserve, you know, good money. They deserve the pay. They're putting their bodies on the line, that kind of thing. But at what point does that outweigh kind of hurting things by having, you know, yet another extra match that doesn't do anything for an awful lot of guys? Like, this did nothing for Strowman. If anything, it makes him look kind of weaker. Yep. Zayn, I love Sami Zayn, but man, when's the last time he's won? And yeah, by the way, he beat Jinder Mahal on this week's Raw, but, you know, does that even count? I mean, Mahal, by the way, him being second last was stupid too, because everyone knew who was going to win, because Mahal is a glorified enhancement
talent,
we'll say. He's a jobber. But anyway, and no offense to him, he's good at what he does. And again, like everybody else in that Battle Royal, by making it to this point, I think he deserves a cut of that paycheck. But this is a 7-hour event in the end. Do we really need matches that really don't mean anything? And my answer to that's no. And it bothers me to say that, because obviously I have a ton of respect for everybody that takes part in this or any other professional sport. Whether you know the ending or not, it still takes a lot of athleticism and work. So
it does, and I don't think any of our criticisms are about their athleticism or their ability to perform in these specific matches. The problem isn't with the superstars. The problem is with the shitty WWE creative teams that just, like you said, throw people in there just so they can get paid.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel I don't. Yeah. And that's basically what it is. I mean, the 6-woman tags match for SmackDown Live, I mean, we'll get to it, but I don't feel like that did any of them any particular good. It was way too short with not enough going on. It was just, I don't feel like it had any. I don't think it did the division any good, and I don't feel like this one did any good. And you know, for all my complaints too, by the way, this is going to get a really positive rating overall.
Yeah, I don't.
This was a good WrestleMania. It's just 7 hours.
Yeah, seven friggin' hours.
And there's filler stuff. Like, that's the problem.
And this is one of the reasons why normally I will not watch the kickoff show. Like I said, the only reason why I watched part of the kickoff show was because of the fact that that's where Dean's match was. And I wanted to see Dean Ambrose at WrestleMania. And I did. And I liked it. I thought it was a good match. JBL, what the hell is wrong with you? Meteoric rise of Baron Corbin? Really? Meteoric, JBL? Come on now. The guy has been in WWE for a year. And only just now, watching, right before we did this recording, watching the SmackDown after, not the after show, but the SmackDown after Mania, the first SmackDown after WrestleMania, did I really pay attention and notice some of Baron's actual accomplishments. The guy has accomplished stuff, but like...
He's done pretty well. I mean, he won the Battle Royal, which, you know, we talked about earlier, doesn't mean a whole lot, but... Yeah.
I mean, he's done stuff, but like, when I think of any of the announcers saying meteoric rise, I think of Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kurt Angle, Booker T. I think of people who...
Austin and Booker are pretty bad examples because they were around forever.
That's, well...
Angle is basically, one of the best examples because, he did everything really quickly and he picked up wrestling really quickly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, comparing him against basically the best in terms of how quick he picked it up, I don't feel like it's fair. I think Corbin still picked it up really quickly. I mean, he wasn't in NXT all that long compared to some of the other really talented guys who spent significant time there. So, I don't know. He deserves a fair amount of credit.
Oh, he does,
Now it's time for me to take that credit away because, I mean, this wasn't a bad match, but it could have just been a SmackDown match.
Hell, the SmackDown match was more of a match.
Yeah, it was better, actually. And, again, there's... man, I feel bad, but in the last little bit, Ambrose has just been the least compelling part of the Shield. It's not all his fault, either. Like, they've let him defend the belt once in the past 2 months. And then they, you know, this SmackDown, they put him in a non-title match for some reason. And it just hasn't been interesting. And Corbin is getting better, but doesn't exude, you know, a lot of personality yet.
No.
He has improved, and he continues to get better, but they haven't given him a lot of mic time. They haven't... I don't know. There's just... This feud is just kind of feels a bit flat for whatever reason.
Yeah, and I think the problem is that Dean needs to be done... Something needs to be done with Dean to where it challenges him, where he can step up and bring his A-game, because we know he has an A-game.
He's very good. I wonder if it's a bit... Remember we talked about The Miz not so long ago?
Yeah.
That when he's motivated, like he has been this past year, he's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a feeling Ambrose is the same. For whatever reason, the stuff they're giving him maybe isn't like really, you know, clicking with him. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, the former tag team triple threat team are now the hosts with the least of WrestleMania. We have the New Day making a Final Fantasy-inspired entrance. Okay, whatever. Then we get
to... Well, that was their sponsor, so...
Yeah, I know. AJ versus Shane... This was...
I was way too hard on this match on Twitter, by the way. I just want to say that, because... I've gone back, and yeah, it's pretty solid. I just, I gotta admit, I was one of those guys who just didn't like the idea of it, and yeah, it was way too hard when I was live tweeting with it, but in the end, no, it was pretty solid, and it wasn't the Shane Spot Fest I thought it would be. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, no, I mean, it wasn't the Shane Spot Fest. I mean, I think what had happened was they paced this out. Look, folks, we know wrestling is fake. Not all of it, but part of it is. You know, and they do choreograph certain things, and they do work on certain things. I think what they did well with AJ Shane is that AJ actually showed surprise on his face when Shane was actually fighting back. Shane just wasn't standing there. And we know Shane McMahon is not going to just stand there. But AJ was just assuming that the boss is just going to lay down and roll over. And he didn't do that. He fought back. And I like that. I think that was great.
I've heard from some people they weren't happy with how much offense Shane got in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think initially when I was watching it, I felt that way. But no, it was a lot better than I originally gave it credit for. You know, I was wrong. And yeah, a lot of AJ feels like can get, you know, the best out of pretty much anybody. But give Shane credit. He tried. Again, you know, I was worried, especially when he did the coast to coast, that this was becoming another Shane, you know, does his same stuff he usually does as a spot fest. But he tried the shooting star press, which, by the way, he landed seemingly fine. Obviously, you know, AJ rolled out of the way. But when I say landed seemingly fine, he didn't say Brock Lesnar land on his neck. So,
yeah,
because it's a scary move when performed poorly. And I guess the other reason I wasn't huge on this match was it was pretty obvious who was going to win. I mean, it would have made no sense to have AJ lose this, especially after the year he's had. But no, it turned out pretty well. I'm not surprised that on the SmackDown afterwards, AJ, you know, shook Shane's hand and just kind of made a bit of a face turn, which makes sense, because, I mean, every week he's supposed to be the bad guy, but everyone's chanting his name because he's had such a good year. Unlike another person who they refuse to change their allegiance despite crowd reaction. But anyway.
Yeah, we know.
Well, they finally seem to be, but anyway, more on that later.
We'll get to him at the end of the show. And then we had the Jericho match.
Really, really good and enjoyable. Didn't quite hit, you know, 5 stars or like that, but it was still very good. And I thought the Owens using one finger to break the count was sort of the, I've seen people call it the ultimate Owens troll move. That's pretty accurate. That was good. It was a Kevin Owens thing for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And the match itself was really, really awesome. I love seeing these two guys fight each other, finally. Like, I like the friendship stuff, and I thought it was cool when they teamed up, but Kevin's a guy that he needs to be on his own against everybody.
I don't mind what they're doing now. He seems to be teaming up with Joe, and it's okay because they're both loners who just want to beat people up.
Yeah, and that works, the way that I'm looking at this now is, and I don't remember off the top of my head, so you'll have to remind me, did Chris have somebody else with him when it was Joe and Kevin beating him up, or was it just the three of them?
In this, on Raw, it was Jericho was backstage. In previous Raws, he's had Sami Zayn with him, and he was, supposed to team with Rollins this week. But
yeah. So what I'm thinking is Triple H is going to, maybe this won't happen because of what happened later in WrestleMania, but after watching this match and after watching Kevin and Joe pretty much demolish Chris, I'm thinking Triple H is going to make a new evolution with the two of them and bring in whoever the hell else he wants to, I guess.
I think that's an option. The other one is they start doing the old two-man power trip. Which was originally Stone Cold and Triple H. But yeah, that would be interesting. Or maybe, you know, this is just something new, or it's just them week to week. Either way, everybody involved is talented, so I'm not going to get annoyed about it.
No. And I kind of like watching Kevin and Joe work together against somebody else.
The build to this match, too, by the way, was probably the best. Like, I think for wrestling fans, this was the most anticipated. Whereas, you know, the Goldberg Brock was more to bring in the casual people who knew the big names. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just the build for this was almost perfect. So
absolutely. Then we get the Raw Women's Championship Fatal 4-Way Elimination Match. You got Bayley, Charlotte versus Sasha and Nia. Oh boy.
You make it sound like they teamed up.
This was
solid. I liked the triple teaming on Nia Jax.
Mm-hmm.
Although, if anybody wants to see an amazing example of that, watch NXT from the night before when it was a three-way tornado tag match, which was beautiful between the Authors of Pain, DIY, and The Revival. Who made their debut on Raw, by the way. But anyway, almost perfect match. It was wonderful with DIY and their, you know, main enemies that they feuded with forever, The Revival, having to team up just to take out, you know, one of the Authors of Pain. It was outstanding with some great stuff, like DIY trying to powerbomb one of the Authors of Pain, but not being able to. And so The Revival both help them. Both teams combined to do each other's finishers, which was nice. And it was just a blast, just a fantastic match. Anyway, this one, Nia gets eliminated pretty early, but it was via the team up. So I think that kind of made sense. I feel like the crowd kind of got out of it when Sasha got eliminated, like they were surprised.
Yeah,
I have to admit, I was too, because I felt like this was all leading up to Sasha turning on Bayley or something, but it never happened. And then we just had Charlotte and Bayley at the end, and Bayley won. It's a bunch of people have pointed this out, Twitter and other places, and I kind of agree that it's weird that this was Bayley retaining. Like, if she had won the title for the first time here, it does feel like there would have been a bigger reaction from the fans, but I don't know. They had her go in as champion and
had her come out as champion.
Yeah, I mean, you know, she's talented. It's just I don't know. I don't feel like it was supported by the lead up, but maybe I'm crazy. Yeah.
No, she's not exactly on top of things. All right, so then we have the Raw Tag Team Championship Triple Threat Ladder Match, and we had Gallows and Anderson versus Cesaro and Sheamus versus Enzo and Big Cass. And then surprise, surprise, it turns into a Fatal 4-Way Championship Ladder Match because returning for the first time in a long time, the Hardy Boys.
7 years, by the way.
Okay, well, maybe the bad luck from breaking the mirror 7 years ago.
I wasn't disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that it was been 7 years.
Yeah, I was not. Like I've said before, folks, I do not keep up with wrestling news all the time. I do not keep up with every single clip. I go into these things almost cold. My jaw hit the floor when I heard the music. I was like, oh my God, they're back and it's awesome.
So, I mean, they've done stuff in TNA for a while, and Matt Hardy very much reinvented the family. Mm-hmm. So, you know, seeing them back again, I mean, WWE's looking for more people, and here are guys that have experience, were really popular, and are very popular again all of a sudden. So it made sense. And in terms of the match, this was a really good match.
This is a very good match.
It might have been the best on the card.
I really think it is.
Yeah, I would say yes. If you wanted to say Owens Jericho was up with it, then fine. But yeah, for my money, I think the tag match was the best of the bunch. For the most part, everybody contributing something. I thought Enzo and Cass, for whatever reason, seem to be... they don't have a lot of ladder match experience, and they seem to be lagging a bit behind the others. You know, Sheamus and Cesaro had a few spots, and not to mention they took that, you know, vicious-looking swanton on the ladders from Jeff at the end.
Yeah.
And, you know, Anderson and Gallows have wrestled pretty much everywhere, so, I mean, they didn't seem out of place. But, yeah, I mean, and the Hardys won, which I'm perfectly fine with, although I hope at some point Anderson and Gallows get a, you know, fair shot. It just doesn't feel like they have so far, but I mean, I'm still okay with it. I really like the Hardys. I'm happy they're back.
I think it's going to set up a feud between the four people, between Jeff and Matt and Gallows and Anderson. I think it's going to set up a feud between their two teams, and everybody else is just going to kind of fall by the wayside.
Because I think Enzo and Cass are headed to SmackDown.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, especially with the Revival debuting on Raw now, too. So, yeah.
I love seeing the Hardy Boys back. I wish the Dudleys were still here, because I would have loved to have seen the Hardys versus the Dudleys again. But, man, I loved it. Oh, man, it was so good. You're right. It's definitely the match of the night for me, because...
Also, yeah, also as a side note, you don't follow a lot of this stuff. I just want to point out, not only was this a hell of a match, but good God, I mean, the Hardys, they wrestled 3 times that week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, different events. Like, yeah. Within a few days, they had wrestled 3 separate times in different promotions, and... Mm. So for them to do all that and then go out and have just a terrific ladder match, and, you know, they're not old, but they're not the youngest. Yeah. To me, that's crazy. Like, that really impresses me.
Mm-hmm. The only thing that kept distracting me in this match is Matt's blonde streaks in his hair.
Well, he's broken Matt Hardy, so.
Then was the mixed tag team match with John and Nikki versus The Miz and Maryse.
So, one of the things I liked most about this is... and one thing with Cena is he's really good at telling crowd reaction. So, I don't know if this is exactly like the... If this was exactly how it was planned. But in any case, I feel like they did change it whenever Miz started getting the bulk of... the cheers and everything through this match.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I mentioned that I think a lot of it's the build. But anyway, this was a solid match. I mean, I was a little disappointed at how quickly it ended near the end. I mean, Cena and Nikki hit the 5 moves of doom, as they've been nicknamed, and that's it. They kind of dispatched Miz and Maryse really quickly. Although, having said that, judging by SmackDown, I mean, you mentioned it earlier... this may not be over, or at least it might be over for now, but it may not be finished quite yet. We'll see. But yeah.
And I love how Mike just rolls over the fact that he has done the same damn thing he's accusing John of doing, of leaving for Hollywood and then coming back. The Miz has done that his entire career. I mean, the kid started out on The Real World, for crap's sake. You know? You know what I mean? But no, I thought the match was great. I thought the ending was cool. The after Mania Raw was a little weird, but we'll get to that later. And then came the non-sanctioned... Why the hell are they doing this match?
As pointed out on Twitter by me and by other people, if it's non-sanctioned, why is there a ref?
Mm-hmm.
If it's non-sanctioned, why are they even in the ring? Why are there cameras? If it's non-sanctioned, couldn't the WWE just go, you know, no, you can't do this, and bring up security and stop it? I mean, feels a little odd. But anyway, I know I'm using real-life logic with wrestling. Which is a bad idea, but...
Very much so.
Yeah, I just do it for fun. I don't actually mean any of that. So anyway.
So Seth versus Triple H.
I'd say really good match. It was kind of quiet, but I thought it was really well done.
It was kind of quiet up until the end. I gotta say, they really did sell that ending.
Yeah, but
I
thought it was okay to build to it, and we had, you know, Stephanie get a... bit of comeuppance for being, you know, such a jerk to Seth, to Mick, and everything else, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, basically, Stephanie throughout the match on various times when the ref was not looking, which wouldn't make any sense anyway, because as we said, it's a non-sanctioned match, she would get up on the apron, or she would mess around with Seth and whatever else here and there. Close to the end, she gets up and basically grabs him and holds him, basically grabs him from behind, wraps her arm around his neck, and holds him there so Triple H can come in and hit him. Well, Seth, you know, gets out of that, and Triple H nearly hits Stephanie. And the two of them sold that, like, both of their facial expressions, Hunter and Stephanie, I was like, wow, great acting job, guys. Maybe you guys should go to Hollywood, because holy crap, that was awesome. And then Seth did something. Seth, what did Seth do? God, I can't even remember now. God, that's bad. Oh, Seth pushed him. Seth pushed Hunter, and then Hunter went into Stephanie. Yep. And this
was a,
instead of instead of Hunter grabbing Stephanie to make sure she didn't, you know, fall. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, Rollins had given him super kick.
That's right.
And he came off the ropes, and then Triple H gets. This was after the repeated pedigree attempts, and then Triple H hits him in the knee. And then, just after that, you know, Hunter almost runs into her, and that's when Rollins kicks him into her. She goes through the table. Triple H gets really, really angry, turns around, and gets pedigreed.
Yeah.
Beaten by his own move, which, by the way, I don't think somebody pointed this out. I don't think Hunter's ever been beaten by his own move before. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. And the thing of it was, you know, they basically said, you know, non-sanctioned match, you know, hold harmless contract, blah, 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 blah. I know Seth's knee was bothering him, both of them. I know, obviously, the surgically repaired one a little more than the other knee, but since this was a non-sanctioned match and almost anything goes, I was really waiting for him to bring back the curb stomp. I really was.
Yeah, I know. Like, it feels weird, especially now. Okay, it's okay that he used the pedigree here, because, I mean, he's fighting, you know, fighting Hunter himself, so that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But if he keeps using it from now on, it feels a little weird. So, yeah, they're going to have to come up with something different. And, I love the curb stomp. I really hope that's what, you know, they let him bring it back, but, of course, they probably won't, because...
Yeah. They probably won't.
Because we can't have nice things.
Yeah, no. I almost think this match and the Orton-Wyatt match should have been switched. Have it be Orton-Wyatt, the SmackDown Women's, which we'll talk about here in a minute, and then Triple H, Seth, and then Brock Goldberg to end.
We can run right into it now. We had Orton-Wyatt, which... You know, most people will know now
bathroom
that Orton
break.
Won.
Yeah.
Orton won in not a great... The problem here, to me, was the end, because it was basically just... It could have been... It's another one that could have been a SmackDown match.
Yeah.
But if you're going to have Wyatt do the head game stuff, as well as if you're actually going to have Wyatt be credible, you have to have him win here.
Yeah.
I mean, so what? He got in Randy's head and he still loses? Like, now, how are you supposed to... After everything they've done with the guy, how are you supposed to take him serious as a threat at all?
Can't.
I really think, this was a mistake.
The whole match freaks me out. It honestly did. Every time they did the visuals with the ring, I'm like, no, don't do that. Stop it.
Well, some people thought it was cheesy. Other people thought it worked. I'm somewhere in the middle. Yeah. But I thought it was interesting. But yeah, if you're going to have Wyatt lose, it's just kind of dumb in the end. So I don't know. This was just a really disappointing. I should note, too, that the crowd reaction wasn't great. And I suspect part of that was, we didn't mention this, but just before this match was the wonderful musical interlude, which...
We maybe were not going to mention that.
Well, maybe it's fine when you're there. It makes a decent breakup, and you can go to the bathroom or whatever. Mm-hmm. But when you're watching at home, it doesn't work well. Especially when you're in hour number, whatever this was, four or five.
Yep. And before that, we had the SmackDown Live Women's Championship match where we had Naomi, Alexa, Natalya, Carmella, Mickey, and Becky all going after.
Actually, by the way, that was after, that match ran after Lesnar Goldberg.
Did it?
Yeah. That's why most people started thinking that it was going to get cut.
Oh.
Surprisingly, yeah, it didn't.
Once again, WWE.com, you guys suck.
Oh, they had it a different order? Oh.
The way they have it is they have Seth and Triple H, and then the women.
No, Seth, Triple H, then Randy, and Bray. Then we got Lesnar Goldberg. And then the women was after that.
Okay, yeah, they have the women after Seth and Triple H. Okay. All right, so yeah, I like the women's match. I think it's great that Naomi finally won, because once again, I will say in the early goings of Total Divas, when I was watching, I'm not watching anymore, obviously, but that was part of her thing way back when, was she wanted a title shot, she wanted this, she wanted that, and she finally got it, and now she got to reclaim it because she never really lost it.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that she's actually the SmackDown Live Women's Champion. I would rather have her or Becky over, maybe Mickey down the line, but out of all these women, Natalya, Carmella, and Alexa are the least three that I want to see with this belt. I mean, I get it. Natalya is Canadian royalty. She's a heart. That's great. Most of her storylines are just god-awful.
Yeah, I mean, that's not her fault. But I mean,
I know it's not her fault, but
she's not the best in terms of acting. I'm surprised you have Alexa on that list, though, because she, especially considering how early she is into her wrestling career, she's done really
well. I mean, I
well.
Like her, but I'm just sick of seeing her. I've seen too much of her. That's really all it is.
Okay.
I don't know.
Anyway, getting back to the actual order,
Brock and Goldberg.
Yeah. I'll just say it. I mean, by far the best match between the two of them.
Oh, absolutely. And it lasted more than 2 seconds.
Yeah, there's that. But I mean, it lasted, it was pretty much exactly what it needed to be in terms of length and everything else. I mean, Goldberg didn't exactly show a lot of moves, although neither did Lesnar. But yeah, it was just, I thought it was.
Somebody said, I think it was you, or it might have been somebody else. It was either Twitter or Facebook. Somebody said, this is going to be the longest time that Goldberg has used the ropes in forever, or something.
Wasn't me.
Okay. Well, somebody else said.
Yeah. It was. Whoever put it together, it was well thought out, because, like I said, it lasted and was pretty much exactly what it needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely full credit to everybody involved. I was ended up being a lot more into it than I thought I was going to be, and the fans were definitely more into it than originally. Because, I mean, when it started off, people were booing Goldberg to a certain extent, and I think part of that was the hardcore wrestling fans are still annoyed about the jobbing out of Owens.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, this match was more than good enough, and both guys put in enough into it that everybody forgot that and was cheering and really into it. So, no, they made the right call in the end. I think the match worked really well, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and absolutely. Won,
of course. We knew Lesnar was going to win. So.
Well, we knew Lesnar was going to win because we have to have somebody who is more than just a part-timer for John later when John tries to break the record. I don't know if it's going to be against Lesnar, but we had to put the belt on somebody that was with the company more than just for 6 or 7 matches. Because I don't know how much more Goldberg's going to be around.
No, I mean, well, I mean, after Raw last night, he did a sort of farewell kind of thing. Although he said never, you know, never say never.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I can't imagine, you know, I think most people knew he wasn't going to hang around. And even if he did, in terms of the storyline, it made sense for Brock to kind of finally get over this, you know, speed bump that he hasn't been able to before. So, I don't know, it makes sense. In terms of Cena, by the way, we should say that for an actual wrap up on something else. Yeah, anyway. Yes. All right.
And then we get to the last match of the night.
After the women's match, but anyway.
After the women's match, yes, after the women's match. Roman versus Taker.
Okay,
and
well,
this is supposedly going to be Taker's last match.
It seems like it, especially with that ending.
Uh-huh.
And I hate to say it, but the botches in this and how Undertaker moved, that kind of thing, I can't imagine him coming back.
Not unless he gets in a hell of a lot better shape. And as you said to me off air, the guy's 50 something, 53, 52, 54 years old.
Yeah.
What
more does he have to do either? I mean,
yeah.
When you're talking greatest wrestlers of all time, he's in the discussion easily.
Absolutely.
Now, you know, whether you want to put him, you know, where you want to put him really in the top. Poof. I mean, where does he have to be? I'd say he almost has to be top three at least.
Yeah, at least.
I mean, where you want to put him is different for other people. But yeah, he's one of the greatest performers of all time. Mm-hmm. And he's one of the greatest performers of all time, even outside of wrestling. Like, people know who he is, mm-hmm. even if they hate wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And he deserves all the credit in the world, so I don't want to, you know, bag on him for this match.
No.
It's kind of disappointing to see him, you know, get dominated by Reigns.
Yeah.
Opposite side of that, though, he clearly physically, you know, wasn't up for some of the stuff that
mm-hmm.
they were trying to do. You know, yeah. For example, if the Tombstone reversal had actually worked, would the match have been different? That kind of thing. Who knows? But I don't know. And as for the other reason this feels kind of hollow, I feel like, is they didn't switch Reigns here. They mm-hmm. probably should have. Instead, you know, they had him come out on Raw to open the show, be silent the whole time for about 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Absorb a ridiculous amount of verbal abuse from the fans,
mm-hmm.
And then just say, "This is my yard now," and leave, which was smart. And he seems to be turning finally. But man, if they try to keep him a good guy and just keep doing what they've doing, this almost feels like a waste.
Yeah.
And I feel terrible saying that, considering what Undertaker's given over the years.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't
Absolutely.
Know where to go after that.
Basically, the Raw after Mania, we've got Vince coming, which I was like, okay, it's been a while, Vince. Where you been, buddy? Because, again, he doesn't show up all that often. If ever, like, has it been a year or more since the last time we saw him on TV? That's what I'm saying. I don't remember.
It's probably been under a year, but not a lot under a year. Because remember, of course, he appointed, you know, Steph and
Shane. Yeah.
And they had.
Technically it was a year then, because it was after WrestleMania last year.
Yeah, but I mean, they also ran that, you know, more than a week.
Mm.
So, yeah, it was less than, anyway.
Anyway, so Vince comes back and says, "Oh, well, my daughter Stephanie is, you know, at home resting, or she's in the hospital, or wherever she is, because of being thrown off the apron and through a table and yada, yada, yada. So your new SmackDown or Raw general manager, commissioner, whatever, Kurt Angle."
Well, I loved the tease with Teddy Long coming out. And
Teddy.
That was funny. Teddy Long is still great. Even, man, I hope I move that well when I'm even close to his age. Yeah, he's phenomenal. I thought that was amusing. And he just and Vince just tells him, like, no, it's not you. And Teddy just goes,
It's not me. Oh.
And just kind of leaves. Yeah.
I love Teddy Long. He's so hilarious. I wish he was the.
Yeah, I like that they kind of keep him around for stuff like that, though. But yeah,
I like that they keep him around more than they keep Vicky around.
Well, I mean, Vicky left to go back to school and that kind of thing. I wish she'd show up once in a while, though, just because she was one of. Well, actually, not one of. She was the best heel GM they ever had by a mile. But anyway. So yeah, Angle came out. Angle was terrific in the entire show.
He was.
Him playing the straight man to Enzo and Cass's jokes and that kind of thing was hilarious.
It was awesome.
Yeah, speech to Zane was well done, so.
Yeah, I like Kurt in this role. I think that's going to be interesting and fun, and it's going to bring life into Raw. Because I got to be honest, I've been loving SmackDown a hell of a lot more than Raw this whole year.
And I think part of that's the authority figures, too, though. Listen, Stephanie's great at what she does, but they can't miss you if you're never gone. Like, she's been there for so long, that kind of thing. And the bright side is, I mean, at least Angle will give... Yeah, if she does return as GM again, Angle's going to have a completely different dynamic, because obviously he's not going to be run over and intimidated by her or Hunter.
Like Foley was, yeah.
Yeah, and inevitably, I think at some point we're going to see Angle back in the ring, which will be a joy to behold, because he's still amazing.
Ooh! Angle versus Brock for the championship, and then Angle versus Cena so Cena can beat the record.
No, because Cena... All right, this is what I was going to say earlier. Cena will end up competing for the SmackDown title, because remember, that's the original WWE belt.
Oh, that's right.
So if they're going to have him break the record, I think they're going to have him do it with the original belt, which to me makes a lot of sense.
That's right, yeah.
So
I have no issues with that. Yeah.
So maybe he's the one that knocks off Orton or whoever, but...
Yeah. So, Superstar Shakeup. They're basically doing a MLB, NHL, NFL-style trade, I guess, at this
point. Well, they haven't said at all. I mean...
Yeah, I know. They haven't said, but...
I expect that's what it's going to be. Like, I expect for whatever reason... Well, not for whatever reason. It works out. It'll work out better for some guys on the other show. So I expect that we'll see Enzo and Cass, for example, move to SmackDown, because I think it'll give them a good fresh start and helps SmackDown's tag division. Although we also had the Revival debut, and I mean, they are just amazing. They're an absolute pleasure to watch wrestle anytime they're on. So.
Yeah,
they get bolstered with that, and so yeah, it makes sense to move them over at this point. I don't know about others. I'm curious with Styles getting in good with Shane if they're going to move him. Which I don't know. That'd be interesting. So the other person that debuted, and probably the two other people debuted. One was Ty Dillinger, who I think is going to be a solid, above-average, sort of mid-card guy. But he's definitely got talent. And then the other one is Shinsuke Nakamura, debuted on SmackDown. And he is absolutely destined for superstardom.
Oh, yeah, he is.
He didn't wrestle. He didn't even say anything. But having said that, I mean, when you watch him wrestle, he exudes something. He just has, you know, I hate using this term, but whatever. He just has it. I mean, it's joy watching him. You can tell he's enjoying himself. He feeds off of the crowd. There's just this connection that so few guys, I think, have ever had. So I'm definitely excited by that. I'm curious to see what they do with him, if he is going to feud with Miz. I should probably note, too, actually, we had another return, which is important, and that was Finn Balor.
Yep, Finn's back.
Return to Raw. So, yeah. Oh, and the other thing I want to mention, too, the chants on Raw, the anti-Roman chants.
Oh, God.
Pretty funny. My personal favorite was probably as soon as Vince came out, everyone just started fire Roman. I feel so bad for the guy. And then at the Hall of Fame, he got booed mercilessly, too. There's a wonderful gif of Roman's face as they just start booing him. And Sami Zayn pokes his head out from behind him, and you can see he's laughing about it.
See, there are certain guys right now in WWE that I think are not necessarily heels or faces, but they are the comedic characters. Sammy's kind of one of those guys. Dean is obviously one of those guys, because I know Dean has pulled several practical jokes and things like that as storyline things. I don't know what the superstar shakeup is going to be. Obviously, it's going to make each show fresher and, you know, hopefully better for both shows, honestly, not just SmackDown or Raw, either
one.
Well,
I mean, I hate to say it, but Raw probably needs the more work.
And by absolutely.
By probably, I mean clearly.
Clearly, yes. I mean,
Yeah, I mean, SmackDown, and again, like, part of this is SmackDown's only 2 hours, which, makes it so much easier to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's one of the main reasons why I love watching the Hulu versions, because I don't have to watch 3 hours of Raw.
Yeah.
So yeah, folks, WrestleMania 33, it's in the bag, and next year for WrestleMania 34, they're going down to New Orleans.
Yay.
I guess. I don't know. I don't know what to make of WrestleMania in New Orleans. 33, what would you rate it?
I mean, if so much, I don't think it'll be remembered as one of the best WrestleManias, but it's still such an improvement from last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's night and day difference.
Right.
So, I mean, in the end, I'll give it a pretty solid 4 out of 5. I mean, I definitely enjoyed it. It was too long, but... I mean, again, you know, I think I'm kind of going past. I'm going based on last year, which...
Yeah. I'm going to give it a 3.5. I did very much enjoy it, but there was a couple in there that were just like you said... The time length and all of that and everything else. Plus, there was a couple of the matches that were just like, okay, hurry up already. Like I said, for me, Randy versus Bray, it was interesting at first. And then when I was actually watching like the back half of the match, and I'm like, just do an RKO out of nowhere already and win. Which obviously he did.
Yeah, I was tired by the end. So, I mean, it ended after midnight, right around midnight live. So, yoy.
All right, folks. Coming up on Mayhem Mike's next time around, I don't know when this is going to be, because we're going to go back to the SmackDown Raw pay-per-views, so 2 pay-per-views, 1 podcast. But next time in episode 22. We're going to bring back the Superstar Spotlight, and since supposedly he's gone now, his career is over, he's retiring, he's sent off into the Death Valley of the Night, we're going to do the Superstar Spotlight of The Undertaker. So it may be late May before we get to that, folks, because we have to do a lot of research on The Undertaker.
Speak for yourself. I've been watching this for a year. No, anyway.
You know what I mean. You know what I mean. So, that's what's coming up here on Mayhem Mike's. Where can the people find you online, sir?
At Nightbeat. And then you can correct me on my AJ versus... AJ versus Shane tweet. Oy.
Really. You can find me at TFGNMike on Twitter, at Geekcast Radio, at This Week in Geek, also on Twitter for each of the networks. Twig is giving away a Logitech gaming keyboard. The information will be in the post, so you can check that out. Basically, just email feedback at thisweekingeek.net, and in 140 characters or less, let us know why you like or love the Mass Effect franchise. And for now, I think that's going to do it, and we will catch you next time when we explore the career of The Undertaker.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Hello, everyone. TF2N Mike here. Programming note change on Mayhem Mike's. We are going to wait until episode 25 of the podcast to do The Undertaker Superstar Spotlight. Coming up next in episode 22, we're going to be talking about the Raw and SmackDown Superstar Shakeup. So join us then.
You just made the list!
All clear.